The heroes of the Meraglim story. There are many heroes of the Meraglim story because it wasn't exactly a great story for the Jewish people. But if there were heroes of the Meraglim story, they are... Oh, there you go. Okay, Yeshua and Kalev. There's something strange about their heroism, though, and that is that they failed. I mean, it was an absolute abject failure. So it's nice that they tried to courageously and almost single-handedly take on 10 of the most important men in Klal Yisrael. Alo Nalev, Yerash Nosok, Yochal Nuchalla. Right, such a speech from Kalev is very exciting until you read what happens next, when everyone's like, no, we can't, and we give up. And then it becomes one of these great averos that we suffer Tisha B'Av till today because of, right? Atem b'chisam b'chir shalchinam ani koveh lechem b'chir l'doros. It was an absolute failure. The other Meraglim shouted over him. They swayed public opinion back in their direction. So the question becomes, like, what did Kalev really accomplish beyond avoiding his own personal punishment and being personally permitted to enter Eretz Yisrael? The Jewish people suffered for 40 years and for all eternity, you know, not for all eternity, but until the Geula comes because of this. So what exactly is it that we are supposed to look up to in Kalev and Yehoshua if we see that ultimately they didn't make it? Ultimately they were unable to influence the people. Second, the Rambam has a very surprising formulation of the Avera of Lashon Hara in the beginning of the seventh parak of Hilchos Deos. The Rambam writes, "Hamaragel b'chaveru over below sase shenamer lo selech rachil b'amecha." That the pasuk says you're not allowed to do rechilus, which is a form of lashon hara. And how does the Rambam describe someone who does rechilus? Not harochel, hamaragel. He uses the term meraglim, so he's telling us something over there. There are a lot of words that he could have used to describe someone who speaks ill of other people. But the Rambam decides not to use the word rechilus, instead to use the word meragel. What's the difference between those two words, and what exactly is the Rambam teaching us by choosing that word? So I saw two different yesodos from two different people, and I think each one is valuable, and when you put them together, it's extraordinarily valuable. The one I heard from, or I saw, from Rabbi Usher Brander Shlita from Los Angeles, California. Rabbi Brander points out in his Sefer, I don't remember if it was Volume 1 or Volume 2 of his Sefer on Chumash, but he points out, based on Ibn Ezra, that Kalev did actually accomplish something very valuable. He got the people to quiet down for a moment of time. So you can say, well, okay, but big deal. Like, the next moment they were screaming again and they were complaining again and they wanted nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael again. But just as the situation was getting out of control, Kalev managed to change the tone for just a moment. Now, it's true, it turned right back the very next moment, but here's the key. Every moment in time matters. Every win, no matter how small, no matter how short-lived, is a win. Every mitzvah, no matter how little of an impact you think it's having on the rest of your life, is a mitzvah. And when viewed on a small scale, that's the way we're supposed to approach things. In this moment, is there something I can accomplish? Is there a mitzvah? Now, is it going to be long-lasting? I don't know. But if a person has the ability to make a Kiddush Hashem for a moment, even if that moment is going to be forgotten very quickly, then he's accomplished something. He's really done something. Small actions matter. Brief moments matter. So Kalev was rewarded, and he's a hero. Not because he made a lasting impact. In the end of the day, he didn't. But he made a momentary impact. And that counts for something too. He's called Ben Yefuna, Chazal say, because he was Ben Shepana Me'atzas Meraglin. That he turned away from the Atzas. Not that just that he turned himself away. He turned others away from the Atzas Meraglin for a moment. Himself, he turned away forever from the Atzas Meraglin. Everybody else, for a moment. And those moments are impactful also. A person has a sense of, you know, we were making fun a little bit yesterday of sometimes people who get super spiritual and they're singing about how they love Shabbos and then they go on the Mechallel Shabbos like that night. And there's what to make fun of. Okay, I understand. But it doesn't mean that that moment wasn't real. Meaning that there are people who maybe, or ourselves, who maybe don't live up to all of our expectations of ourselves all the time. But that doesn't mean that when we do something good, it's not good. Or that when we do something right, it's hypocritical. It could be that in that moment, we're actually accomplishing something. We're actually doing something. It happens to be that we're not always so good at maintaining that level, of maintaining that high. But every moment, Kalev teaches us, every moment is valuable. And the second Yisod I saw from Yeruchim Olshin Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood, where he points out that the primary sin of Lashon Hara is not actually the telling of the gossip. That is true, that is a very significant element of it. But the Pasuk says, Mia Isha Chavetz Chaim, Ohev Yamim Liros Tov, Nitzol Lashon Chamera. So we often focus on the beginning of the Pasuk and the end of the Pasuk. Mia Isha Chavetz Chaim, oh, that's the name of the book. That's the guy, the Chavetz Chaim, right? Wrote the book. How did he do it? He was Nitzol Lashon Chamera. He told us we should stop speaking bad. We should prevent ourselves from speaking Lashon Hara. But there's a middle part of the Pasuk also. You have to be Ohev Yamim Liros Tov. You can't just be Nitzol Lashon Chamera. You first have to be able to see good. You see, a Baal Lashon Hara finds the negative in every situation, like a fly swarms around garbage. The Baal Lashon Hara looks for all the negative and just swarms right to it. He just sees he's attracted to the tzoa. The Nesivus explains the Pasuk of Mishlei, Einecha lenochach yabitu v'afapecha yushiru negdecha, to mean that if we start looking at other people's faults, then it's important to reorient ourselves and afapecha yeshiru nagdecha, look at ourselves instead. When we recognize that we're flawed also, we're not going to be so negative about other people. Meaning it's very easy to judge other people. When we see other people falling short of our expectations of them, their expectations of themselves, the Ribbono Shel'olam's expectations of them, we're immediately quick to say, oh yeah, they're not so from, they're not so this, they're not so... When we do it, like we have like a team of high-priced lawyers that work for us inside of our brains and our hearts, that, well, it's because I was tired, it's because I was this, it's because that person wasn't nice to me, it's because, well, he started with me, so of course I fought back. You know, we have all sorts of explanations. So sometimes you see what someone else does, think about, like, have I ever been perceived in that way? And that's what the Rama means when he talks about not rechilus, he talks about hamargil. The trick is not in what we ultimately say. It's very natural. It's nearly irresistible when you have a geshmak, a piece of Lashon Hara, a human inclination to ultimately speak what's on our minds. It's a very, very natural thing to happen. The key is to make sure that there are good things on our minds. That when you see people, you see the good in people. That you have your lomid mikaladam. You have something positive. It's to stop the problem before it starts. We shouldn't have those bad thoughts, those negative thoughts to begin with. We need to look at the world with more positive glasses, what they say with rose-colored glasses, right? To see everything with a more positive spin. Hamargil means to get into somebody else's business, to scout out other people's lives. That's the root of Lashon Hara Rechilus. Lashon Hara Rechilus is the way it expresses itself is an outgrowth of a deeper problem. The deeper problem is the way a person looks at the world and the way a person looks at other people. And it seems to me that living productive and successful lives often demands that we put these two ideas together. So again, idea number one, that every moment that's a win counts, even if it's short-lived, even if it's just for a second. And idea number two, that it's about perspective, it's about how we look at things. See, too often people define themselves by their previous actions. They look at the big picture and our whole history of failures, and they give up on the very next moment of time. But if we can look at each moment as a potentially great one and not think about like what we've already done, we can motivate ourselves to do some very good things. And a lot of times, I just heard from Ramosha Weinberger last week, and he got the story from Ramailuch Biederman, I think, that a story with the Ger Rebbe. I think it was, which Ger Rebbe was it? I don't remember. There were two Ger Rebbes that were, one was the Rosh Yeshiva and the other one was already the Rebbe. Anyone know which Ger Rebbe was? Anyone hear the story from Moshe Weinberger? I don't remember. The story goes as follows, though. I'll tell the story anyway. The story goes as follows. There was a bachur that was struggling a lot with a lot of things. And he went to the Kotel to daven. He was going to Chutz Laretz that night. So he went to the Kotel before going to Chutz Laretz. And it happened to be he saw the Ger Rebbe at the Kotel. As he was walking away from the Kotel, after he finished davening, he saw the Ger Rebbe. And the Ger Rebbe says to him in Yiddish, I'm not going to say it in Yiddish, I'll say it in English. The Ger Rebbe says, you should know the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't laugh. And that was it. And he's like, okay, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't laugh. What does that mean? So he was thoroughly confused. So he went to ask the Rosh Yeshiva in Ger, who was the next Rebbe, who was the brother of that Ger Rebbe, and he said, I saw your brother at the Kotel, and I've been struggling with a lot of things. I know it must have been some very important message. He told me the Ribbono Shalom doesn't laugh. The Debrish of Trachnisht, I think, is the Lashon Yiddish. The Ribbono Shalom doesn't laugh. What does that mean? So the Rosh Yeshiva said, oh, it's very, very deep, what my brother told me. See, what happens if there's a bachur in yeshiva that does something wrong? So they bring him to me, and I, you know, talk to him, and I try to be mechazik him, and I tell him that this is not acceptable behavior. Okay, but it was a one-time thing. Then he goes back to his regular schedule, and again, he gets caught doing the same thing again. So he comes to me, and he says, no, I'm never going to do it again, I'm so sorry. And I say, look, you have to figure out what strategies, how to avoid this behavior, how to be better than this, you are better than this. And the guy says, yeah, I'm going to be better this time, I'm going to do it. And then he goes back to his regular life in yeshiva, and he gets caught again, and again, and again, and every time, oh, I'm never, ever going to do it again. He says, after a while, I laugh, because of course he's going to do it again. What my brother was telling you was the Eibush to Trachmish. The Ribbono Shalom, I could be getting the word entirely wrong, but the Ribbono Shalom doesn't laugh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't laugh. Meaning, no matter how many times you failed, no matter what your history is, when you have that moment of inspiration, when you say that now it's going to be better, that now Hashem's not laughing at you. He's not saying, don't be stupid, don't be ridiculous, you failed 1,000 times, why do you think it's going to be better this time? No, he takes it seriously. It's such a critical yesod. You have a day off from yeshiva, from if a person works for a living or whatever, you have a day off where you don't have anything on your schedule. So you have big plans. Everyone's got big plans for the day off. You're going to finish shas. You're going to, you know, you're going to do everything on your day off. You're going to clean your room. You're going to, whatever. You're going to solve all the world's problems on your day off. And the next thing you know, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you've done nothing. You got a nap in, you made lunch for a half hour, you ate it for another half hour, like, but you did nothing. You got absolutely nothing that day. So you, two ways you could take that situation. One way is, it's a lost day, so I might as well continue to mindlessly click around on the internet or play video games. Because today, it wasn't, you know, I didn't finish us today, and now it's too late to finish us, so it's not going to happen today. Or, you know what, I could learn Torah. I could spend some meaningful time with my family. I can call a friend who needs some chizik. I can ensure not that the day up until this point was productive, that's a lost cause, but I can ensure that the next 5 or 10 minutes can be productive. I can't tell you how many times I have been in a situation where I felt like I have not been as attentive as I should be to people in my shul, let's say, going through a variety of struggles. And the attitude is, I can't call them now, it's too late. Meaning, after everything I've been, now I'm going to reach out. It's too late. But that of course, is ridiculous. It's never too late. A person misses a Shiva visit, you can still give tremendous chizik by calling the following week. If you're spaced out for an entire davening, and you're like, find yourself going modin, like, whoa, we're in Chazar Sashatz, and it's almost over already? What happened? Like, where have I been? You're spaced out for an entire davening. So you have, okay, this was a failure. Or, you know what, we still have Aleinu left. Maybe there's some valuable words in Aleinu I can focus on. Ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim mimal v'laretz mitachas ein od. You know what Chaim Vlazhner says about the value of ein od milvado? Of thinking about the Ribbono Shalom and ein od, and that there's no one else? You know what the value of that kind of phrase, just b'kavana, that one phrase, b'kavana, can mean for you. Al kein nekavelcha Hashem Elokeinu liris mehera v'seferes ezecha. That we reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It might change our entire day, but even if it doesn't, it will definitely change that moment that we're saying it. You know, we live in a time that, for whatever reason, there's a lot of people that suffer from anxiety, from depression. And there are theories about it as to why it is that anxiety is so high in our times. But with all the benefits of modern society, our relative lack of adversity and challenge compared to, I don't know, Jews in every single generation up until this one, somehow we're more depressed than we've ever been. Now, obviously, you can't give trite solutions to serious problems, but, and it's a major avoda. But what we clearly have to work on is developing a more positive attitude. When we look at another person or an event in our lives, it wouldn't hurt to look through rose-colored glasses to see the positive. You know, it's natural to see only the negative, because when things are going well, we feel like, okay, that's the way it should be. When something doesn't go the way we want it, so knee-jerk reaction is to complain. But that's we're doing a disservice to ourselves if we're not seeing the positive. That the best way to make sure that we're happy people is to see happy things, to see things that we can learn from, that we can grow from, that we can enjoy. So the Avera, the Meraglim, the sin that caused Bechil the Doros, was more than just speaking. It was the Ayin Ra'ah. He said, you know, they came to Eretz Yisrael. I think Rabbi Friend likes to say, these people came to Eretz Yisrael. You could have it nowadays. People can come to Eretz Yisrael. Imagine now, what is it? It's June 28th, right? So then you can go to Eretz Yisrael on June 28th. You can get off a plane. You go out of the airport. You know what you're going to feel? Extreme heat. You'll feel extreme heat. You'll feel dehydrated after a half a day of walking around. You're going to look around and you're going to see a lot of rocks. You know, people can go through a whole period of time in Eretz Yisrael and not feel inspired because they're not looking with the right glasses. Or you can look and you can see the Makomos HaKadoshim, the place where the Avos walked. You can see the places of Torah that are being rebuilt. Every crane you see in Yerushalayim, rebuilding, building more. You can see the promise of Geula. You can see how everything is all the groundwork is being laid for Mashiach to come. And every step can mamash inspire you. But it all depends what kind of glasses you're wearing. It all depends how you're looking at something. And doing so often means that we have to focus only on the next moment and not define ourselves by our last moment. And when we learn to do that, we'll see that we can string together moment after moment of Avas Hashem, of growing, of Kirvas Elokim, and ultimately of great Avodas Hashem, and then there's not going to be any more any reason for a Bechil Ledoros or a Bechil Leshaah, because our lives are going to be so much more fulfilled. And Bez Hashem, that should be the lesson, or one of the many lessons that we should derive from the whole story of the Meraglim. Remember, Kalev is a hero, because he had that win. He had a win in the moment. A person go through a whole morning Seder and be like, I didn't really get anything. But maybe those last 5 minutes I can get something. Maybe those last 5 minutes I can accomplish. Maybe something will click if I'm focused in Shir. Maybe in Chazara Seder I'll pick something up that I didn't pick up the first time around. And that's a win. That's a win. Every moment is a win. And it's something that's valuable. It's something that we can, it's immeasurably valuable. We should have the kalach to be able to have that kind of attitude and be able to appreciate each of our positive moments and each of our successes in Avodas Hashem.